Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things.
Well.
Sick and tired of people like Reese. Sick and tired of y'all.
Yep. That's fine.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That's fine. I just know that, you know, in order to do this job, I had to get vaccinated, and that's what I did. Coming to the studio. I know that. So, the voice we heard, the sound bite we heard, obviously, is, I tell you one thing, this guy knows how to capture, leading stories. I was listening to the show this morning, 6 o'clock shows, and of course, everybody's leading with Kyrie Irving. That's the voice you heard on the sound bite. Kyrie Irving broke the silence, by the way. He went on Instagram Live on last night, actually. After being declared ineligible to play for the Nets for not receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Mm-hmm. So, this is what he said, man, on Instagram. He said he's neither pro-vaccine nor anti-vaccine, okay? And that he fully understands the ramifications of his decision. And that's important, because when money starts flowing, he'll understand why, in my opinion. The final consequences, I know I do not want to even do that, Irving said, but it's reality that in order to be in New York City, in order to be on a team, I have to be vaccinated. That's what's going on. I choose to be unvaccinated, Kyrie said, and that was my choice. And I would ask that you, Reese, K-Mac, and everybody else just respect that choice. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to just continue to stay in shape, be ready to play, be ready to rock out with my teammates, and just be part of this whole thing. This is not a political thing. Really? Really? Okay. This is not about the NBA, not about any organization. This is about my life and what I'm choosing to do. All right, you guys' thoughts on that, man? Where you are with what Kyrie said last night?
First, I knew it was coming. That's the first thing.
Okay.
I knew Kyrie was not getting the shot. Just knowing his posture over the last year and a half, 2 years, Kyrie wasn't getting the shot.
Right.
Kyrie is financially secure enough at this point and woke enough at this point. If he believes he shouldn't be getting the shot for whatever reason that those are, he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to feel like he's been forced to do it. The question I have, is this indefinite? Is there any reason, like, do you go back? How do you go back? So, dude, next year we say, all right, okay, now you don't really have to be vaccinated. Or is this essentially, because Kyrie said, I'm not getting the shot. Is it over?
Well, that's interesting.
That's a good question.
I think he's counting on maybe the mandate being lifted.
Right.
My understanding, in January, that's going to be new leadership in the city of New York, new mayor, and maybe some people say he's thinking about that. Before I get to Pam, let's hear Kyrie talking about his critics saying he's going to lose some money. Let's take a listen.
Because it's going to continue to revolve around this and that, and yo, you're going to lose out on money, and you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I really just want to give up my job? You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn with, to learn that it takes sacrifice in this space? Because we could be easily at home chilling with our families, but we're choosing to go out there and perform.
Okay, so, all right.
Wow.
So where are you on this, Pam, in terms of what Kyrie said yesterday?
it's very interesting, you know, especially when he said, you know, we're not, he doesn't, people are not going to hijack his voice. I'm glad to finally hear it.
Exactly.
Glad to finally hear it. I mean, I do understand what he's saying about it's not about the money. It's the principle. It's how he feels, his values. I get that. But what about the voice of the hundreds and thousands of people who died?
Yeah.
You know, due to COVID-19 and the reason that these mandates are in place. So it's just very interesting. But going back to what K-Mac asked, you know, I think he feels like it's going to end soon. So, you know, I'm standing on my principles. It's going to end and I'll be back doing what I'm doing. Because I think one of his, in the interview, he said, I'm just a hooper. I'm not a physician. I'm not, you know, the doctors, you know, everybody's putting the weight of this on his shoulder. I'm just trying to hoop, you know, but this is what I stand for. Very interesting.
He said he wants to be the voice or the voiceless. I get that. But you're not Muhammad Ali. I'm not sure. It's like, you know, I guess for where I am, maybe he's just going to be stubborn. He's going to get established. And maybe it's not about vaccinating or being vaccinated or not being vaccinated. Maybe it's the fact that you're not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Not anti-vaccine, but anti-mandate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's what this is all about. And that's where he's standing on his principles behind that. I don't get it, me personally. You know, and I heard some guys coming out, Jay Williams this morning, and even Keisha, I'm talking about, we stand with Kyrie and all this. I said, that's fine. But you know what, Kyrie, you don't have to play. I mean, the thing is that, you know, let's keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, that's their guys that want to play, that will be a season. And if you're part of the season, you're not. I want to remind you that he didn't come to the bubble because he didn't want to be restricted to stay in the bubble to play basketball. But everybody else did. A lot of guys opted out. Last year, he took two or three times. He took 15 days off just to get his head straight, which is fine. It could be a mental day, a mental week or whatever. Like, it's good to take some mental days. I get that. But he did that three or four times last year. So my point is, you know, Kyrie, either you're gonna be, are you in this to, or you're not in this. He always is always what Kyrie thinks. And that's fine. He's a very independent thinking guy. I love him for that. But those things have consequences. Okay? And I'm just not with it like that.
So my thing about, I guess I'm trying to figure out what the big deal is. If you say, in order to come to my restaurant, you have to wear a shirt and tie. And you say, I don't do shirt and ties, bro. So I'm going to go down the street.
Right.
Cool. I'm okay with that. But if you decide next month, all right, you come in, we relaxed our dress code, you come, and now he comes back. So was the shirt tie really required in the first place? Was it?
No.
Or were you just trying? So my whole issue with everybody all up in arms is, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? He knows the consequences. He's recited them to you verbatim. He understands them. He says, you can't mandate me to do something, force me to do something that I feel in my heart is not right for me to do. And I understand that. So if I have to sit down in order to remain whole in my own being, I'm going to do that. What's the big deal, people? Why they mad? Why is everyone upset because Kyrie took his own stance and said, you know what? Great. If that's the problem, if that's the consequences, I'll move on because I don't own the NBA franchise. I don't own, so I have to deal with it. But everybody's in arms. Why they mad?
Well, to be fair, a lot of people's talking about it because he wasn't saying anything about it. So that was a lot of speculation going on because of that. And I remember Jay Cloudmaker, I love Jay Cloudmaker, was a professor, my professor. Well, I was in business school in Carolina. He talked about this, and it stays with me all the time. He said, if you have a business or you have something that you're trying to sell or any organization, you got to market, you got to create your own message. You got to market yourself because out of sight, out of mind, people develop their own opinions. They develop their own marketing strategy for your company or for you. So if you want, if you want to have your own, if you want to talk about your own brand and what you're all about and what you guys do and your deliverables or products or whatever, you got to push it yourself. Because if you don't, people develop their own opinions and market it for you. And oftentimes when they do that, they're not doing it in the right way. So without Kyrie saying that, the hell, that's, we're in the business to talk about sports. It's Kyrie. It's not going to play because of this. So you guys, that's a mandate. That's what the hell we're going to talk about. We're trying to speculate why. Because we don't know. Now he finally comes out and says something. I think we kind of came to the conclusion that he's anti-mandate. I think that's what we are.
That's what the Athletic reported.
Yeah. So I think that's what this is. But we'll see, man. But yeah. Kyrie, he finally said something yesterday, so we know more. I think we do. They were there before.
Okay, Mac, I have a follow-up question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the big deal? I think one of it is, like, do you think that how people feel the team will do without Kyrie?
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. So is he letting his team down, essentially?
Right. I think that's what makes it a big deal.
So, but that's not the question they ask most of the time. And I say, hey, don't you feel like you're letting your team down? And that's a crazy question to ask. Think about this, right? So – are you letting your team down by sticking to your own principles? What does that mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? We just talked about mental health days. Is it good to do this? They don't ask me that question when he took 15 days off.
Right.
They don't ask me
exactly.
That, you know what I mean? They don't ask me that then.
Right.
I'm just wrapped around this whole. And I get it. They're really sticking to it because of the mandate in the city, and the city's with their mandate, so they have to abide by that. I get it. And that's what they have to do. That's what they have to do. It is what it is. Just like the city had the mandate and you don't want to buy it, you don't want to get fired, you got to move to Arizona.
Sure.
Or something.
Exactly.
Arizona. It rules all the rules. I mean, if you drive the city bus and they say all city employees have to be vaccinated and you decide, hey, I'm going to take this stance. Well, guess what, city bus driver? You can take early retirement or you can leave or you can do whatever. It's just the same rules apply.
Exactly. Is this, I don't know, in terms of your teammates, no. He said he's talked to his teammates. They're okay with it, with what he's doing. So I guess they're fine with it. I don't know. I know if I'm working the cinnamon line, I'm putting tops on bottles, right? And we got to meet a certain quota. And all of a sudden, the main guy who's part of the process just don't want to show up because, his civil liberties are violent or whatever they are. I don't have a problem with that. We're trying to win. Right. I need you to help us win. So what's going on? What you doing?
Money, but how much money are we going to lose?
Right. Yeah. That's exactly. Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but that's a fine line, you know, guys. That's a fine line. That's like asking a person to say, "Look, man, my knee's really torn up." Say, "Man, just take the shot, man, and come on, I ain't play a little." But you know, if I do that,
You know, okay, mate. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a fine line to make. Ask a person to make a personal sacrifice that they truly feel is detrimental to their health or could be detrimental to their health.
Did he say that?
That's what I say. Or could be. Well, I mean.
Okay.
No, he didn't. But I'm assuming because before it was mandated, he didn't take the shot. So I'm assuming there's a reason he didn't want the shot.
You know what? I have to be real honest right now and just go and put it out there. This is the final moment for me. I think I've reached my get off my grass moment, old man moment. Because for the life of me, I just don't get it. I remind myself of my father. Well, back in the day when I walked to school backwards in the snow, I mean, I'm having one of those moments now where I just don't get it. I don't understand. Man, I don't get it. But I'm pretty sure. And you guys may agree with me on this. He's probably viewed as a hero to a lot of people, some people out there. Mm-hmm. That's my hero.
There are a lot of people that lost their jobs. I mean, took the stance, I'm not getting it. So he's the voice for them.
Or the voiceless, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. But being the voice of the voiceless, damn, by the time we heard your voice, because what time you was voiceless too.
But yeah, Reese, I got my own. He's just a hooper. Why are you giving him all this responsibility? He just want to play ball.
He do. He just want to be left alone.
You know what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper, right? Like I'm just a person who's being utilized as an example.
Mm. What?
There you have
there
it.
There it is.
As an example of people that don't want to get vaccinated.
See, I don't know. It's kind of hard to follow, but I guess now we know that.
And then when they change it, and then when they change it next year, right? Like you, right. I think you alluded to earlier, and they change it next year. You know, I'm just, and I know people say, "Well, Mac, you take the vaccine. You had a vaccine. You encourage people to get the vaccine." I said, "Yeah, but I also encourage people to operate under free will as long as it's not detrimental to other people's health." That's
right.
Kind of my take on it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just don't understand, like, what's going to change in 62 days, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, Kyrie's okay to play then, all of a sudden.
It's a lot of stories out there, you know, some things that we have to wait and see. But, yeah, the word is that, you know, again, the government's going to change in New York City, which may bring the lifting of the mandate. And that's down to January. So we'll see where that goes. But I don't get it. Go ahead, Pam. Sorry.
I was going to say, he said something interesting, if I heard it correctly, in the whole interview. He was talking about, like, it was almost like he was surprised because he was talking about being promised an exception.
Yeah.
You know what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper. Right?
So here's the deal about that. So the NBA... probably said something to him, okay, about their stands on it. Maybe he can get exception, but the NBA is not New York City.
And
that's the problem. So even though the NBA may have said something to you about Kyrie, you get exception because of religious, I don't know, for whatever reason. But the New York City said, no. It's a mandate, so that overrides everything else. Every organization, every company that resides in that domain, in that city. So,
you know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine, you know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming where I prepared for it. And, you know, I had a chance to strategize on what was going to be best for me and my family. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball, you know, be able to use my talent to continue to, you know, inspire, influence people in the right way.
Mm. He had me right there for a second. I was like,
So the official mandate for, I guess, New York is... to enter certain buildings, you have to be vaccinated?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. And again, he was promised all this, but I don't think the mayor's office told him that, or the state of New York, or whatever it is. I don't think they told him that.
Well, I don't think they really thought it would be a mandate, just to be honest with you.
Right.
I really don't think that they thought that. I think the whole mandate thing was probably... on the far ends of where this would end up.
I'm curious, Michael. I'm not sure what poll you're going to pull up. It's definitely Throwback Thursday, but I'm curious what people feel like Kyrie, how they feel about, I mean, after hearing Kyrie last night, where they are in this whole situation. They believe Kyrie is right in what he's doing, which is what they should. I mean, it's a free country. Or do they have a problem with it? I don't know.
Well, I have the poll question we had yesterday, what do you believe will be the final outcome with Kyrie Irving in the NBA? 36.6% say that he'll just sit out the year. So 24.4% say that he'll get vaccinated and rejoin the Nets. 22% say the Nets will trade him. Only 17.1% say that Kyrie will retire.
Wow.
He won't have to retire, but... I don't think he'll be traded. I think they're going to lift the mandate in January.
Yeah.
If 90% of everybody wants the world to go back to some form of normalcy, so like I said, in 62 plus days, all of a sudden they're going to say, "Major wave a magic wand and pretend like we never had this conversation."
Well, it's going to be an ongoing saga. I think it'd be interesting to see what Stephen A, because Stephen A went at him pretty hard yesterday. See what he has to talk about today on this show. But
he came
online. But he did? Wow. Okay. So that three things probably Kyrie's thinking about once they lift the mandate. Three things that he's going to do. First, he's going to drink his Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. He's going to drink his Pepsi Zero Sugar, and he's going to rock and roll the Fisher Sports Apparel, the Sports Shop, which is Under Armour. Keep it right and keep it tight all night.
Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right.
Gotta pop Bubba Sparks, Ying Yang Twins.
Well, the fans were hoping the Hornets would hit 60. They did not. And this one comes to an end with a score, Dallas 127, Charlotte 59.
Yeah, let that settle in your spirit for a while.
That's in your spit. Teams.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
This morning on Throwback Thursday on the Sports Shop, let's throw it all the way back to the year 1972.
Wow.
Which was the year this song, Brown Sugar, by the Rolling Stones was released. And that's been in the news lately because the Rolling Stones may have dubbed their tour No Filter. They were just here in Charlotte. But the iconic rock band has filtered out one of their most popular songs from their set list. The band retired their hit song, Brown Sugar, from their current tour for now over conflicts surrounding the controversial lyrics that depict slavery, rape, and drugs, guitarist Keith Richards confirmed to the Los Angeles Times.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I don't...
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of Rolling Stones, so I would have missed that one. But that's interesting.
Learn something
yeah.
new every day on this show.
He never lies. Hence explains why we're playing this music. It's all good to us. 1972. But
what were y'all doing in 1972?
Yeah, you mean y'all.
Y'all.
What you mean y'all? Yeah.
I was just wondering what was going on in
the I was working. It's 1972. I was working on my primary colors. That's what I was working on, my primary colors.
Yeah, you need to 1970. Talk about what we. So, that's what it's we. Talk about what y'all do. You better we. You better stop playing with me. Talk about what y'all do.
Well, you know, in 1972, there wasn't a team in Charlotte, NBA team. And it felt like it wasn't one there last night because it was a high school or elementary school team last night.
It wasn't one at 8:02 last night either.
The Dallas Mavericks took on a shot of Hornets last night, a preseason NBA game. And
did they?
Someone said the destruction of the Hornets took place last
night. Dallas 127, Charlotte 59. Let me put this in perspective. Yeah.
What?
Charlotte on the score at 59 points. During the break, I looked something up. Klay Thompson dropped 37 in one quarter. What? Charlotte must have 59 points in the whole damn game? Are you kidding me?
The whole game.
Seriously. In all four quarters, they scored 59 points. Hey, Klay Thompson almost got that much in one quarter. Man.
So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
You after pray. That performance, what you like you go home and you look, I mean, even the dog listens. Damn, coach. what was that? What's going on here?
Did I read that right?
The kids already in bed. They ain't waiting up on you. You know what I mean?
Know.
The dog like, bro, I ain't going to mess with you tonight, bro. You all right? I mean, what do you do when you come back to work? I don't even want to talk to nobody. I just leave the arena, make sure everybody get home safe, and I just leave and go home.
No,
but what do you do when you come back to work today?
Well, okay, even before you leave work, what do you say to the team in the locker room, like after the game? What do you say? That was a tough one.
Oh no,
I mean, tough loss.
Somebody said, if I was on the radio, somebody said, "No, Sherlock. I mean, I can get some words Tough loss, really, fam? That's all you got, huh?
I'm gonna be honest with you. Uh-huh. I may go old school on this one. Don't nobody say nothing. Wait, wait a minute. I want complete silence. I don't hear nothing. Nobody talks and I don't want to hear nobody say nothing. All y'all take your ass home. And everybody just leave. Everybody just leave. Just go home. Don't nobody say nothing. I see you back in the morning, 7:02. How about that?
Maybe some of this has something to do with it. They went almost 9 minutes without scoring a single point. They shot out less than 30% from the field. The Mavericks had 33 points off of turnovers, which means that tells me the game was sloppy.
Oh my gosh.
I put that on coach. That's on coach there, man. You didn't have them ready. And by the way,
they
the Hornets finished.
A couple players.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be different.
That is.
They just need to
I
keep.
I bet they didn't miss their damn check. How about that? The ones that did play, they won't miss their check.
Right. I bet they just need to keep the Hornets off national TV for a while. Because apparently it's not doing them any good.
See, that's the bad part about it. It was on ESPN, man. Everybody saw it. But by the way, the Hornets finished preseason 1-3, and they opened up the regular season at home this Wednesday against Indiana. Maybe those two other players that Pam just mentioned, maybe they'll be back by then. But that's it from head coach, who came and said may have some issues when he went home with the family. James Borrego talked about the embarrassing loss.
We couldn't score tonight, dropped our heads defensively. We got a long way to go.
Check.
You know, now it starts 0-0. Cleanse it. We move forward. Get ready for a good practice on Friday. We play on Wednesday. Well, we'll see how we respond from this. You know, these aren't the efforts we want. You know, that's not what we're looking for. So we'll address it. It's not something we're comfortable with. You know, our efforts got to be better, and it starts with me. You know, I've got to hold this group accountable. They got to be better. We got to be better collectively. We own it. We move forward.
You guys ever had a performance so bad you just don't even want to talk about it? You just walk off. You just leave.
Yeah,
not.
I have, but you know that. But hey, KB, watch this. I've had. You know what my response was?
Okay.
I got a headache. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Drink more water.
Migraines, I tell you.
You know, the Hennessy don't work well sometimes. Come on. Anyway.
Drink more water.
Hey, don't be afraid to ask for a little help.
Drink more water. That's all I got
for you. I was on the damn sports shop. I tell you the truth, boy.
Y'all wrong for this.
Oh, my God.
I'm crying now.
But no, Charlotte.
Ringo had a headache last night, too.
I know. Charlotte got to do better. But that's embarrassing. Think about it. They didn't get 60 points.
At this point, so you know, it's always more to the story.
Thank you, Pastor.
something is wrong on that team. You don't have this type of debut, right?
No.
With the talent, the lineup they had, quote unquote, thought they had. And you come out and you just do not perform, period. Yeah. Not like, you know, I was a little off and one shooter couldn't. No. This was a complete and total team letdown.
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
So I'm telling you now, there's more to this. There's smoke. When there's smoke, there's fire now. I'm telling you. Something is wrong back there.
I haven't climaxed as a player.
So I don't know if it's attitudes, if it's your boy Ball got all of the, you know, he the big man on campus. You know,
I'm
just telling you, Reed, something's wrong for an entire team to just say, all right, look, bro, you got the shoe contract. You do your, man, go ahead, guard everybody. Matter of fact, why don't you start that Klay Thompson guy? Oh, you don't want none of that smoke, do you? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you want me to do that, but you get the $100 million. Yeah, okay, I tell you what. Yeah, that's not going to happen tonight.
Well, let's just hope that next week, when they open up against Indiana, that they'll have a better performance, and we'll move on from there.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
D-Stro. What's going on, Dr. Strowman?
Good morning.
You all morning. Are just so powerful. The discussions that you have about 2 minutes ago, all of a sudden the power went out in my house, and I said, it must be the Sports Shop.
It must be the Sports Shop. That's exactly right.
Yes, but I am fired up, ready to go tomorrow. Hopefully your listening audience is ready, informed. I am hosting a seminar tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Critical Race Theory and Sports. That's sweat. So I'm excited about this. First and foremost, if you are interested in attending, it is free. It is on Zoom. And you can Google Gillings, which is the name of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill School of Global Public Health. You can Google Gillings, my last name, Strowman, and critical race theory, or if you are familiar with technology, you can use Bitly, and you can just type in SPH for School of Public Health underscore sweat, SPH underscore sweat. But I'm very, very excited about this. I've got amazing panelists going to join me. Dr. Akilah Carter-Francique. She is a professor at San Jose State University. We've got Gary Charles, who is the founder of the Advancement of Blacks in Sports, and many people will know Gary because he's considered the godfather of grassroots basketball. Dr. Billy Hawkins, fraternity brother, University of Houston, who wrote an amazing book comparing athletics, college athletics, to plantation life. Dr. Christopher Parker, professor, University of Washington, political science expert. Dr. Ellen Starosky, she is familiar to this area. She's done a lot of work with looking at the exploitation of women athletes, of black athletes. She was a part of the research team that did that groundbreaking study looking at college sports and how billions of dollars are actually owed to college athletes. They actually did the calculations. They did the math. They ran the numbers. And two other folks, two former UNC athletes, Chelsea Townsend. She was an amazing student of mine. She's gone on to start her own sports agency. She is a NFL certified agent.
Wow.
And I know she has a lot to talk about. And then lastly, I just secured one of my former students who is just wonderful, Mr. Travis Bond, former UNC football player, spent 3 years in the NFL and 4 years in the CFL. He's now retired. He's coaching at a local high school in Greensboro, and so I'm looking forward to this conversation tomorrow.
Man, that sounds outstanding. Really, I'm gonna look at the link right now, Dr. Strowman. That's a action-packed day. You guys have a seminar you got going on. This is good stuff here.
Well, let me start off by talking a little bit about critical race theory. I know I've mentioned it on the show before, but there is no doubt that, in my humble opinion, that this is another way to cause distraction in our country. It is another way to find something that whites, blacks, and brown people are unified upon. And the people that are out there that do not want a multiracial democracy or experiment in democracy, people who do not want to share power, redistribute power, they attack, just like they've hijacked Black Lives Matter, just like they've hijacked Defund the Police. They are now hijacking critical race theory. It is a theory that is insightful. It's a productive tool for interrogating problematic social phenomena. It was inspired by W.E.B. Du Bois, who said that the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. And so this it really started in the late 70s as a response to legal scholars, in particular, may he rest in peace and power, Derrick Bell, Harvard professor, who basically got frustrated with what was going on. As in, we had civil rights laws being passed. We had an influx of liberalism, as in we're all just colorblind. And things weren't changing for Black people in this country. And so he and other scholars said there must be something else going on. And what they landed on is that we've got to take a perspective of looking at policies, as in laws. And so what emerged was critical race theory. Now, some people would say that there is no doubt this is very, very negative, because it says that racism is not just not merely the product of individual biases and prejudice, as in it's much more than somebody being mean or using the N-word treating you wrongly. What critical race theory says is that it's embedded in all of our systems. It's embedded in our legal systems and policies, as in racism is endemic. Let's just accept that. And then you work on it. And so some people would say that is very, very negative. And I would then question then, is medicine negative because it focuses on illnesses and diseases, right? Now, there are other people who say that critical race theory is actually very, very positive, because the core idea with critical race theory is that race is all made up. It's a social construct. There is no white gene. There is no Black gene. There is no Latino gene. That we are of the same race, the human race, Homo sapiens. And so if you can make something up to divide us, then you can tear it apart. You can deconstruct it. And so there are a number of principles or tenets within critical race theory. And tomorrow we're going to unpack two of them. The first is interest convergence, which is basically a theory that the dominant people, the dominant power, they don't do anything unless it works in their favor. The interests must converge. And so there are numerous examples, and I'm going to pull up the one for sports tomorrow. That's what we're going to talk about. But an example would be the groundbreaking study, Brown versus Board study, as in law that was passed. 1954, Brown versus Board, which meant that we've got to stop being segregated. We need to desegregate the schools. And so interest convergence, when you look at it with a critical race theories lens, would say that, well, the only reason why we did it is because we were under attack. As in Russia, China, other world powers were saying that, United States, you're a joke. You sit here and talk about democracy, but look what you do to your Black people. And so, because of the interests, not going to do anything unless it serves our interests. And so, President Johnson and others who normally did not give a hoot, they weren't working towards civil rights, but they said, well, this is going to raise our prestige across the world and show that we are great. And so they signed Brown versus Board. And so we had many civil rights actions taking place. But the interest was because we wanted to show that on the world stage, we are great, that we are not disrespecting, we are not discriminating, we are not keeping Black children in schools that aren't funded well. So that would be an example of interest conversions. Another one would be redlining. You all might remember back in the 20s and 30s when our government, our federal government, was deeply involved in housing, regional city planning, new housing development. And so they took out maps. They wanted to help the real estate folks, help them to make better decisions. And so they took out maps and they put color-coded lines around communities. Green meant go, red meant it's a hazard. Don't buy there, don't sell there, don't finance there. And I think you know who got the red lines, which we know has led to many of the problems that we have today. And so you drew those lines around, which created great harm. Banks subsequently refused to offer mortgages to Black people in those areas.
Yeah.
Interest convergence something that seemed that, oh, let's do something nice, let's help folks, but it created harm. And so schools and universities, they're just natural sites to observe interest convergence. And many people would say that for years, the NCAA athletic administrators, many of them, did not want to have anything to do with athletes receiving any type of compensation. And so here we are today. We've got name, image, and likeness, NIL. What's the interest convergence? Because they saw the tide was turning. People on the red side, people on the blue side said something is wrong. How come an athlete, just like a musician, just like an artist, just like anybody else, can go to college and they can get paid by an outside vendor? How come athletes can't? And so the tide turned, and now all of a sudden they're all for it in public. And now they get a cut of the pie. They're working the legislation. They're making sure that the athletes on their college campuses, they get a piece of the NIL contracts. Or at the very least, they're going to make sure that we control it all. You can't meet with that company. You can't meet with that person. We need to vet it first. We need to be in front of this. Interest convergence. And then the last piece of tomorrow, we're going to talk about the tenet with critical race theory, about we need to lift up the voices of those who've been marginalized, those who are oppressed, those who are in harm's way, those who have been neglected. So we're going to have Chelsea Townsend, the sports agent. We're going to have Travis Bond, the former NFL, CFL football player. We're going to have Gary Charles talk about what are the athletes saying? What do the athletes want? The good, the bad, and the ugly. So that is tomorrow, 11 o'clock a.m., Critical Race Theory and Sports. Let's sweat.
Wow.
Powerful.
Right. We're talking to Dr. Deborah Strobin, right with Distro, each and every hump day, Thursday, same place, same time. This is interesting. And how can people just give the information again? How can people register and be a part of this, Dr. Strobin?
Absolutely. Most people use Google. So just Google my last name, Stroman, S-T-R-O-M-A-N, Gillings. That is the name of the school, G-I-L-L-I-N-G-S, Critical Race Theory. Or if you're familiar with Bitly, which is a shortener for domain names for websites, go to bit.ly, bit.ly, and the title is SPH, School of Public Health, SPH underscore sweat. Wow. Or follow me on Twitter, right? At Dr. Strowman, at Dr. Strowman, and you'll see the numerous posts.
Outstanding. All right, Dr. Strowman, and as always, it's a pleasure having you on. Can't wait.
Thank you. You all have a great weekend. I'm looking forward to the Carolina Miami game.
Yes.
We need a W. We need it badly. And
tell me about it.
The Tar Heels will come through. I'm excited about all the fall sports. It's just amazing to, you know, how blessed we are to live in a community where we've got four schools that have wonderful, wonderful athletes that just keep us entertained, to keep us from all the stressors of life. We are highly, highly blessed. And I'm hoping that everybody continues to support the sports that take place in this community.
That is right there.
Awesome.
Thank you,
Dr. Have a great day.
You too.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
You know, we got a theme song for Coach come up here.
Theme music in the background. Shaft. Okay, okay, I like it.
Coach coming in strong. I tell you, though, I'll be remiss if I don't mention this is one of my proudest moments. Mm. To be honest with you, talking to this young man, I've known him for a long time, and I'm just so proud to be in on this side of the table. He's on the other side of the table. We're talking ACC basketball, in particular, the leader of the UNC men's basketball program, Coach Hubert Davis. What's up, Coach? How you doing?
What's up? How are you doing today? I like the theme music. I'm pumping my chest. I like it. Let's do this.
So, Coach, you know, let's talk basketball a little bit. You know, a lot of things are good. You know, transition, you know, new guys coming in. How you feel about where you are right now and shaping the team the way you want it to be?
No, I love where we are right now. Uh-huh. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the experience of – you know, Caleb Love and R.J. Davis
yeah.
being sophomores. Mm-hmm. There's a major difference between a freshman freshman guard to sophomore guard.
All day.
And so they just get it. They understand taking care of the basketball. They understand shot selection, the importance of from a defensive standpoint. So having those guys come back is awesome. Having major experience that has been a part of this program like Armando. You know, he was our leading rebounder and scorer from last year. And to have him back, that's so valuable. And then, you know, now a part of college basketball is a transfer portal, a.k.a. free agency.
That's
and
right.
So in our free agency, we were able to pick up three unbelievable kids and players.
Right.
We're talking about Justin McCoy from Virginia and Brady Manick from Oklahoma and Dawson Garcia from Marquette. Mm. Now we've got versatile bigs that can make plays out on the perimeter, that can handle the basketball. And so from an offensive standpoint, now we have the spacing and the balance and the movement that we lacked last year that we want this year. And then the versatility on the defensive end to be able to switch anything. Our bigs can guard guards out on the perimeter, and our guards can guard bigs down low on the post. And so we've got a number of options on both ends of the floor that I'm really excited about.
We're talking with head basketball coach Hubert Davis from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill Tar Heels. And, Coach, talking about that transition, following a legend like Coach Roy Williams, now you taking the reins and being a part and putting your fingerprint, putting your thumbprint on this program.
Yeah.
What is it? Because Caleb talked to us about some things you guys are going to do differently on the court.
Yeah.
Right, this year. Talk to us about what that is, what the Hubert Davis era of team is going to look like, or should look like.
Well, I mean, you know, it's all about personality, you know, relationships with me. You know, one of the things that I tell the guys is that, you know, I can't coach you unless I know you, and you can't play for me unless you know me. Mm. And so the only way that I can get to know you and you can get to know me is we got to spend a ton of time together. And so I do.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I have at the front desk of the basketball office, I have a check sheet, and I make every player stop by the office at least three times a week. And so they come in, and you've got to come in and have lunch. We can watch TV. Yeah. You can take a nap. I want to spend time with you off the court. I don't want to talk about basketball. And I always tell them, if the only communication that I have with them, it's on the court, then it's time for me to quit or get fired.
Right.
And we just one thing we started is every practice when we're stretching and going through individual development work, we put on – everybody gets a chance to put on their playlist.
Oh, nice.
And so Brady was – he was the oldest. Brady Manick. We had country music, the whole team.
There
like,
you go.
Who is this? Who's Garth Brooks? Who is –
nice.
It was hilarious. Very and then nice. The next one. And then, now we got Lil Durk. And it was great, you know. The next day it's Bruno Mars, you know. And it's to be able to see the personality of all of our players before practice,
nice.
that's just another way that brings us together, and it's made us better on the basketball floor.
We're talking basketball coach Hubert Davis, USC Chapel Hill. It's funny you mentioned that because I had to let you in on the secret.
Yeah.
I snuck into practice with me and Phil Ford one day. I'm not sure you remember us over there last week. You probably didn't see us over there. And we heard the music, but I saw a kid, and I was going to ask you, the kid from Kinston, what do they put in the water in Kinston?
Oh, my gosh. He's on a pogo stick. Oh, my gosh.
It's incredible.
No, he's Dontre Styles.
Yes.
He's unbelievable. Both of our freshmen, DeMarco Dunn from Fayetteville, both of them extremely athletic, great length, can defend, can score many different ways. I haven't seen anybody in college like Dontre's.
Yes.
His mid-range game, you can't block his shot. His elevation, thing, and it's really interesting as a freshman, he knows how to get to his spot. Mm-hmm. And it's at that free throw line ACC logo area.
Bam.
And he just jumps so high that nobody can block his shot. He's going to be really good.
Right. Outstanding. Coach, as always, it's a pleasure having you on.
No,
I can't wait to see what this season holds because, you know, I sit next to this guy every day.
Okay.
Every day. And he's your biggest Tar Heel supporter you ever see.
That's awesome.
You know, I am too, by the way, just so we know.
That's perfect.
I love you guys.
Good luck this season.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Thank you
for stopping
by.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah. Can't make another line.
On that line. Oh my God!
Let's go, Hill.
Pam, did you hear that, Pam? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Man, people turning their cars over right now when they heard that.
Let's go, Hill. Let's go, Tar.
No, that was cool. It was kind of cool to get A lot of people said, no, he was kind of stiffy. It's kind of cool to get inside some of his personality. You heard some of that in the interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we
Great
do.
Interview.
That's what a sports shop do. We got more to come. We just wait to hear Coach Keats, and we got we're gonna have Leonard Hamilton on live tomorrow with us, because we talked to him in Charlotte, but he's coming on live tomorrow because he want to make sure we get all we can with him. He's a good dude too. Fine. So yeah,
that's my guy right there. I'm gonna get Coach Keats come on too live too, because we're not done with our conversation. Coach,
oh yeah, y'all be going back and forth, K-Man. I need to get that referee, you guys. Y'all be getting, it be getting too personal when y'all get together.
I'm gonna get Coach Keys. I'm gonna get him. Don't you worry. Get
the questions.
Exactly.
That part.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
All right, by now we. I should have known he's calling today. You know who he heard on it, so he had to make sure he called it. Normally exactly. He got work to do, but today
he's been in my draft.
His ass ain't got to work. Anyway, Mike, what you want?
I just want to refute any rumors or innuendo that some of those chillins of daisies look like a certain caller from this program.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, wow. What's,
please refute that.
Wow. Yeah, like, what's going on with that?
I think I'm getting jealous.
It's all about me and Pam.
Yes.
I want to put down any kind of rumor, you know, any kind of scandal. You know, internet age and the Google Mail age, these kind of rumors start flying.
In the Google Mail.
Google Mail.
And I also want to dedicate this song, which is a little bit of a twist, a sports shop twist, to a Beatles classic.
Oh, yeah. The Earth, Wind & Fire version. Yes, absolutely.
I was alone, Reese.
Were you?
I didn't know where I could find Pam.
And then she showed up just in the nick of time.
Wow. Right. Y'all are just ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, as far as the poll question, I stand with Kyrie. I told Kyrie, you want to play? Come run with me at Rucker Park. We don't require vaccinations at Rucker Park.
Say we don't require.
You can keep the game sharp. That's where me and Julius, Cookie Head Johnson, we hold our game there.
Cookie Head Johnson.
Yeah, Cookie Head didn't make it. He had a bad situation. But, you know.
Cookie Head.
But this is interesting. You know, look, if it was anyone but Kyrie, this would be must-see TV, wouldn't it? Because he's been flaky before this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Right? You know, yeah. I sometimes wonder if sometimes he's getting, maybe he's got a little bit of that wanderlust. You know, he doesn't seem to stay anyplace. I don't know if he's a military brat or what, but he doesn't seem to stay anyplace too long. Well, that is welcome real quick-like, doesn't he?
Look, and if he does, he spent a lot of time watching. He don't spend much time doing anything else.
He got the bad toe. He got the hammer toe when he was at Duke.
That's right, he did.
He had the little brother syndrome.
Okay.
And then went to a sure thing in Boston. One player away. That team was one player away.
Yeah.
And he sent him back to the Stone Age. And now Brooklyn. How do you not win with that team? So, but you know, it is an interesting thing that, so you're going to make me get this shot in order to earn a living. Interesting dilemma.
Well, that's what the state say. That's what the state say. That's what the state say. That's what New York said.
No. New York ain't saying it's the People's Republic of New York.
Like Comrade de Blasio?
I was there the other day standing in line for bread, so I know.
Wow. Anyway.
Anyway, after this big topic, great interview with Hubert. But I got to tell you, the names of some of these players he's counting on. If this is a soccer team. If this is a soccer team, I think I'd be okay. But
basketball.
Oh, wow,
Michael.
Wow.
You know, get off the phone, Michael.
Michael, go home.
And Walter and Phil.
I'm getting ready to send you an email, Michael. Check your email.
Yeah, check your email. You better check that one. Coach Googie in it.
No email. No email. They got my delete folder. On the wine list. It ain't safe. We'll do teletype. We'll figure something out.
Oh, teletype. Teletype. Get off the phone, Michael.
Have a good day.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Michael.
Wow.
You know he tell the truth, Reese. Stop playing.
Oh, metal bank guy.
Oh, my God.
Keep playing, okay?
I know.
Caleb.
Caleb. You're right. That was stupid, but true.
Dare I say the Sports Shop fans are just as bad as the Sports Shop?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dare I say, but anyway. All right. Real quickly, talk this little NFL news. Speaking of emails, and speaking of John Gruden and this email debacle or scandal. Wow. Quite honestly, it only really started because of the Washington football team and their investigation, because they bad actors themselves.
Bad
and
now actors.
Just, now yep. It's just taking on a life of his own. But Bomani Jones had an opportunity to talk to the NFL, the president of the NFLPA, and it was interesting. I don't know if you got a chance to hear the whole. I didn't get a chance to hear the whole interview. I heard quite a bit of it. But he asked a couple of questions about that. Let's hear a couple of comments because I want to get you guys' take on it.
And again, this is NFLPA Executive Director Damari Smith.
Damari Smith, right.
Yeah, who John Gruden made the comments about the lips.
Yeah.
I have less of a concern, honestly, about this being directed at just the Washington football team stuff. What I'm interested in is there correspondence that suggests that teams are making decisions about coaches based on the color of their skin? Are they actively hostile to players who have chosen to self-identify in various ways? Are they denigrating, people based on sexual preference or religious identity? I'm not so much interested in just I want to know about Washington football. I'm not. I think it would be good for our game and for our business, for both the league and the union to decide that we're going to turn a corner. And we've talked about diversity, we've talked about inclusiveness for years. How do we turn the corner and actually match our actions to our words? And when will we start to hold people accountable for living up to a standard that we believe is the acceptable standard for just human interaction?
Wow. Reese?
Yeah.
There's more to the story, bro.
Always.
If you're listening to what he was talking about, he has the answers already. First of all, most attorneys, they always have the answer before they say anything anyway. But he has the answers already. He knows what's in there. He knows that what's going to come out is all of the stuff that he just mentioned. He knows that stuff about Colin Kaepernick and how the league conspired and how they all were in it. He knows that all of that is in those emails.
That's what it sounds
I agree.
Like.
Yeah, I agree 110% on that one, man. A lot more to the story that we talk about all the time.
Yeah. Okay. His key word, though, accountability, that part.
But here's the thing. Do you comfortably feel that we're going to see anything beyond just this? Will it effectively be swept under the rug, somewhat dealt with? Dan Snyder may get a slap on the wrist, make him move the team to his wife or somebody or something. League-wide ramifications I think the answer is going to be no. Nothing else is going to come out league.
That'll be sad. I mean, if that is the case, and that end up being the case, that's going to be a sad time, because I think it should be full disclosure. I think highlight, daylight, everything, so we can go and get past this. If not, there's always going to be a question mark up there, like, what else is out there? What else is going on?
Because we know the players know. We know the players' agents know. We know that they all know situations that have been occurring, things that have been going on in the background that are unfair. People abusing their power just because they can. And now it's starting to be highlighted, daylight a little bit, but it puts the NFL in a really, really sticky situation, because how much do they allow to be daylighted? And let's be real clear. We're talking about allowing to be daylight, because they're not volunteering anything. I'm going to tell you. They're not. Trust me, they're going to have it on lock.
Right.
So this is a problem for them. This is truly a problem. And not as a sense that the society is going to turn on the NFL, because they weathered the Colin Kaepernick storm, sure, unsuccessfully, I might add. But hey, they made it through. This is the workforce possibly turning against them, being an issue.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll see. We can talk about this all day long. But tonight we got a game, Tampa Bay, Philly. Who you got, Reese?
I got Philly. That's a shocker. Mm.
Whoa, I thought you said the quarterback wasn't the answer. The quarterback couldn't throw.
Down.
The quarterback wasn't ready. They need to move on from him.
He could be ready for one game. He could be ready for one game.
One game.
Who
you got, Pam?
I got the Eagles.
Really?
See?
After what they did to your team? You still gonna roll with?
Yes.
Who you got, Kid Mac?
Hurts is on a high.
Anybody but Tom Brady.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Well,
Hurts said, "What about the Tom Brady high?"
I'll take Tom Brady
even
with the bad finger.
There you go.
Bad finger. You take him anyway.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes store.